This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we're full in it now. We're jumping in, diving hard into the Jefferson District season. And we got a lot of really interesting stuff happening. It's turning into a round robin in the bottom of that district where anybody can beat anybody. But let's start with, as we do every week, with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. And it's a pretty easy one with Quentin Spellman.
Yeah, freshman out at Louisa County. I got to see him last week against Orange. And, man, you don't see freshmen play on the defensive side of the ball all that often for good football programs like Louisa County. So when they show up...
One that comes to mind, you know, a guy that would have played as a freshman, Brandon Smith.
Yeah.
But Kerry Wynn.
Kerry Wynn. They've had a couple come through.
You got to be darn good.
Yeah. And you have to not look like a freshman. And yeah. And that's one of the things that Spellman doesn't look like. I mean... If you didn't have the roster in front of you, you would, I don't know, junior, senior, something like that?
Yeah.
He was a force unleashed. I mean, that defense already has so many good parts. I don't know if you're Orange County, you know, coming into that game. All right, who are we going to definitely try and stop? You know, Aponte sort of at the top of that list. Aaron Aponte had a huge game and really sort of flexed his muscle with back-to-back sacks on this one drive to just absolutely destroy a drive at midfield where Orange was looking like they might put some boards on the board in the second half. But, Quentin Spellman was in the backfield all day. And if you're Louisa, you know up front, all right, we got to take Jalen Alexander out of the picture. And they weren't quite able to do that entirely until, you know, late in the game, Jalen makes his effect felt. But Spellman was just... He was flying to the ball, and you can see how excited the staff is about him. A kid that young who's just got a nose for the ball like that, fights through blocks. They can line him up in different places. They can use him in a lot of different ways. You know, send him up the middle, send him off the side. Different gaps.
That's the really unique for a freshman. You know, a lot of times a guy can maybe find a role, one thing he can do, but if they're popping that guy all over the formation, then the sky's probably the limit for somebody.
And that was the fun part about watching him is he was making tackles. I mean, they're all in the backfield, but they're just from different spots. And so it was kind of cool to watch that. I mean, it pops up, you see 56 flying through a couple times, and you're like, who's that? Yeah. Oh, wow. Because you know the other guys on that defense. We've seen the numbers from Louisa already. You know, you got Bahante and Alex Washington and Austin Sims and all these guys that are just tackling machines. Mm-hmm. You throw a disruption in the backfield like that. It gives you that 2017 vibe again, mm-hmm. as far as Louisa's defense goes. They believe that is a state championship defense. And so far, nothing has been thrown their way that they can't handle. Even that Massaponics game where they give up 20-some points. I mean, you look at what Massaponics has done since. And it did done before going into that game, you're feeling really good about hanging your hat on that one if you're Louisa's defense. This is just another example of the rich getting richer. A freshman. Three more years after this to worry about a guy who can play at that ability. Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, I first got to look at him in that scrimmage with Goochland early in the year. They were down a couple of defensive ends, and he plays tail off. I mean, the guy like you said, he is so disruptive. He is so tough to handle. And he's contributing to a defense that's putting up their own big numbers. Man, they're just playing really well.
Yeah, big, strong kid. Fast, too. I mean, just fast. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what you do about that. Just add it to the list of, I don't know, we gotta cover everybody.
Yeah. C&G Road Grader of the Week, Quentin Spellman, just an easy pick, man. The guy just played his tail off. So, a really impressive week from Louisa to take care of business against Orange, and it sets them up really well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at so Jalen Alexander breaks an 80-plus yard run in that game. Up to that point, Louisa's defense is holding Orange to 2.2 yards per play.
Yeah,
I think that speaks volumes to what that defense brings. And yeah, here's a freshman contributing like that. That's pretty special.
Offensive player of the week. Another one that's an easy pick with the first win of the season for Almar. let's give it up for the Alomar backfield. We're going to split it between two guys. One just got back in the lineup, Mekhi Washington, and the other one, Ebenezer McCarthy, who's been trying to carry that load over the last couple of weeks. And just a really, both go over 100. Really, really solid performance from those two guys. And you know, you got to be thrilled to see it. That is the potential of like a thunder and lightning situation. We know what Mekhi brings to the table from a power perspective. You throw in McCarthy as this sort of, you know, streaky work done type quickness, you know, and he's a big kid too, don't get me wrong, but he's more of a sprinter. If you throw those two in there together, Alomar suddenly becomes much more difficult to defend.
Yeah, and this is becoming a theme. You know, last week we talked about Orange this way. Mm-hmm. You're doing it again with Albemarle, and hopefully this continues. The week before it was with Monticello. Teams picking up that first win and the momentum it can sort of send them on. And in Albemarle's case, yeah, it's getting some seniors back in that lineup that they needed. Maybe those were the missing pieces for them going forward. But yeah, to put up those kind of numbers that they did, I mean, they were running with confidence for mm-hmm. a team that has not had anything break their way in the first entire half of the season. So, I mean, that speaks to sort of sticking with it and just sort of keeping your chin up and find a way to go out there week to week to try and compete. And if you're Brandon Isaiah, I mean, that's what you want to see from your seniors, your playmakers, just everybody around the field. If those guys come out and play every week as they should, you're going to see the younger guys step up and make big plays too.
Yeah, I mean, and Mekhi Washington's return, man, it can't be understated how important that is. Like you said, him getting back, Jake Grombach getting back, that makes a big difference. Those were guys that they were counting on to be leaders. And they've had guys that have stuck with the program, Kaishan Howard, Nolan Pitzenberger, guys who have played really well at times this year already. But, you know, Mekhi Washington was a guy that they expected to be the dude this year, and he returns, and in his first game, he's the dude. So that makes a big difference. Big win for them over Monticello. Maybe gives them some confidence going into the back half, but they've got some work. They definitely have their work cut out for them, no question about it. Mm-hmm. But another one, offensive player that, you know, really deserves a shout out there, Jared Hunter. A big game from him.
Yeah, I mean, a quarter of his carries went for touchdowns. 21 carries, 4 touchdowns, 158 yards, hard yards too. He had one break of about 50 yards or so, and then the rest was all just sort of, I mean, his third touchdown, I think, is like an 14 to 11 yard scamper where he's getting tackled 3-4 different times at the feet and just finds a way to slip through. I mean, for a guy that size, his legs are just so strong. He just keeps moving. He's slippery, but we've talked about him a lot before, where he's just added this like grittiness to his game that just excites everybody over at Louisa. And yeah, he had a really big game. I mean, we'll get to their backfield later and sort of some of the fun issues to have if you're a coach, like Will Patrick is with a group like this. But yeah, Hunter, a huge game, and really, after a slow start for them offensively, went out there and set the tone. You saw the sort of offensive line respond to his running style and sort of adapt. And in that second quarter, they really came alive.
Then we flip over defensive player of the week, Isaiah Taylor, Monroe, defensive end. They've got two really good bookend defensive ends in David Mack and Taylor, and two big sacks for Isaiah. I mean, just a tremendous performance from a guy who's just a sophomore. We talked about Spellman earlier, you know, as a guy that's really stepping up. Taylor's a guy who, you know, when I was talking to him, said, you know, I talked about, like, what does this do for you guys going forward? And his immediate response was, I don't really know. I'm still learning, like, what this does for me, you know. But it doesn't matter if you're going to listen to your coaches the way that he did this week. You're going to be in a lot of football games. You're going to make a lot of really big plays. They preached over the bye week, stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. John Rocha, his whole staff, stay at home, because you did not want to get beat by the rollout, the reverse sort of rollout that Western rolls, that it just is incredibly, incredibly important for the Warriors. And if you fly in as a defensive end and you get sucked in, Carter Shiflett's going to eat you up on the outside, or he's going to throw to Breaker Mendenhall. Either way, you're in a lot of trouble. If you stay at home, though, you got a chance against it. And they did. Two big sacks for him. Really impressive performance on the week.
Yeah, and that's a huge win for that team. I mean, we had talked about them after the win over Madison. You go into a bye week, and you never really know after a win what that bye week does for you. In this case, it did wonders. You know, that's a huge win for Monroe. It keeps them. We talked about it coming into this game. This was going to matter for somebody their season, basically, mm-hmm. playoff wise. the resume was going to be built right here. And so Isaiah Taylor coming up, making big plays in a game that Monroe sort of has to have. They spent all this time preparing for, and that makes it even sort of doubly important, coming out of a bye and playing strong. So great job by the Dragons there.
Yeah, and then another defensive player that definitely deserves a shout-out, Elijah Bullock with a big Fluvano fumble recovery. A defense that's playing sort of complete team ball. I really like how Fluvano's kind of taking care of business on that side of the ball, and Bullock comes up with a fumble recovery. Overall, they played pretty good football. Week in and week out, that defense maybe has given up some yards, but when they need to, they got to step up. They bow their back. They come up with a bend but don't break. Truly something they're kind of going by down there, and a big week for Elijah Bullock with the fumble recovery.
Yeah, and we've talked about with Charlottesville. I mean, don't be deceived by the record. Isaiah Washington can give you headaches.
Yes.
And so, to hold that team to 7 points, obviously Charlottesville's a hungry team. They want that first win. So they're going to come out and give everybody their best shot going forward. We saw that last year, particularly late in that Monticello game, Charlottesville coming out there and just really getting after it, even though it's week 10, or I guess technically week 11 at that point in the year. But you look at that Fluvanna game where you win 26-7 and your leading rusher has 40 yards. That speaks to the defense coming up and putting up a great team performance. Bullock with the fumble return and turnovers. Those things just change momentum, just emotionally. Forget about what they do field position wise, but just the way it charges up a sideline, it can really make a difference, and it obviously did there.
No question about it. So, road grader of the week, Quentin Spellman, easy choice. All these were easy choices. We didn't take very much time at all on this. We sped right through
it.
It
was nice.
Offensive player of the week, Almar's backfield, Jared Hunter getting a little bit of a shout out. Then defensive, obviously, we just talked about it. That brings us to what we want to discuss, good problems to have. And we got some teams with some good problems going forward. And, just problems that just aren't really problems. Like, if you're complaining about this, then, things are pretty good.
Yeah, it usually means that your record is probably right where you want it to be.
Yeah, you're rolling.
Louisa has a crowded backfield, and they have one ball.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of heard them talk about it after the game. And obviously, everybody wants to get as many touches as they can. And we've seen it week to week. It's been different guys for Louisa. Sometimes it depends on sort of what kind of running style you're looking for. Sometimes it depends on, where it within that offense do you want the run to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Which side? And
sometimes it just depends on who's got the hot hand, because
exactly.
They will feed people.
Who's healthy this week? Who had a good week in practice? Like 1,000 different things to reward. But, you look at this between Jared Hunter with almost 600 yards now on the season. You got Caleb Shelton at 353 on just 39 touches. Morgan, 30 touches, 238. And then Washington, 9 touches for 119. That's just not fair.
That's four dudes who, look, we're not going to go out there and say that all four dudes would, that they would start for anything. There's a lot of good backs in this league right now. Jalen Alexander's playing well. Austin Shiflett and Buteau out there at Western. Like we talked about Isaiah Washington. We don't know that these guys, but these guys are all capable of being the top ball carrier at any school
in the
area.
And it speaks to it that the leading rusher, his 7.05 yards per carry is the lowest of those four. And that's an amazing average to have. When you're looking at it, so 9, 7.93, 13.2.
They are picking up yards in huge chunks over there, just huge chunks. And those guys are making the most of the carries they're getting.
And then you look on the other side of things offensively with Landon Wilson playing at quarterback, getting the ball out to Buck Hunter, getting the ball out to Noah Robinson. Things are changing. We saw Louisa open up the playbook a little bit in the third quarter there. With the game, I don't know so much whether it was the game in hand or they were looking to just try something different to see what they could do against that Orange defense. But they started whipping the ball around a little bit more, and it's going to be fun watching going forward. If you get a bunch of 9-man boxes thrown at your face like that, what can Hunter and Robinson do in those wideout positions? It's going to be a lot of fun for Louisa going forward, because they have put themselves in this place where they're going to get some second halves to play with, to toy around with. Now, they talked about it a lot. Another good problem to have, worrying about complacency when you're winning the entire time.
Always a good problem to have.
But, Will Patrick talking about a win is a win kind of thing. They're all hard to get. It doesn't matter who you're playing. So don't take any opponent lightly. That'll be the key going forward. But even given that, you know, you don't want to sleep on anybody, you'd like to think that Luis is going to get to experiment in some second halves here.
Yeah.
And working even some younger guys and just sort of, I mean, this is how you keep programs rolling, because you go into the next year with tape for, you know, sophomores and juniors who didn't get a lot of playing time, but you know what to expect from them because of what they did late in games.
Yeah, really exciting. Like we said, the good problem to have is Luis's crowded backfield. That's a really good problem to have. Another good problem to have is Orange County's back half of their schedule. Now, let me tell you about a bad problem. Orange's first half of their schedule. That's a bad problem.
Yeah, Orange sort of seizing the reins there from Buckingham for rough starts to a season that they had a couple years ago, where they would go sort of 1-4, 1-5, and then win out and sort of last year qualifying for the playoffs and doing it. So this year, let's see if Orange can do the same thing. It's going to be interesting. A real big game coming up in a couple weeks with Fluvanna. But that is the only team with a winning record that Orange has left on their schedule with games against Monticello. You got Western in there and Charlottesville as well. That comes up this week. So that's a, I mean, we just talked about Louisa not taking teams lightly. Orange played really, really well against Louisa in that first quarter and in other parts of the game, but particularly in that first quarter. So they showed that they can do this. Now let's see if they can go string four together and make this this region standing interesting.
So a good problem to have, the back half of this Orange County schedule. Another good problem to have, Stab and Covenant offense, eight-man football, cannot stop scoring. These guys are cannot stop scoring. We saw the time of possession from Stab, a huge tilt towards VES in their game. We know that Covenant is scoring on a lot of really big, quick plays. They're just not getting that many offensive plays because they're just pouring it on early.
Yeah, between Brunswick and Southampton, I don't know that the Covenant offense has run more than 20 plays.
Yeah.
25 plays because they're scoring all in all. So, yeah, interesting problem to have, losing the time of possession battle severely as teams try and run the ball against you, but it not mattering because you're housing it every time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, eight-man, it's interesting. There's not a lot of 13-7 games.
There's just so much space.
Yeah.
There's a lot to operate, and you're talking about some really, really good playmakers. All these guys are really good. You know, there's just a ton of good playmakers. Amani Woods, tremendous playmaker for Stab. Nick Reese is emerging as a tremendous playmaker for Stab. You know, and Nolan Bruton has been playing really well, whether it's quarterback or catching balls from Nick Reese. Three guys who can really play. You flip over to Covenant. Jonas Sanker, he's a game-breaker type guy. Nick Sanker, game-breaker type guy. I mean, when these guys get loose against these teams and they get loose in space, it is hard to run them down. There's just a lot of space to work with, a lot of things that you can do, and neither of these two teams can stop scoring because they're pouring it on early and often.
Yeah, and so it's just this is a sort of two large bodies just sort of careening into each other coming up.
It's coming.
I mean, last year we got to see them play twice. It's a shame they only played once this year because that would be fun. But I think it puts more on the line in that game, in this rivalry that has always been heated. These two schools, they just, when Clint Alexander was at Woodbury, what's diametrically opposed?
Yeah, diametrically opposed.
Line he used to like to use all the time. they're just two programs that they've always done things differently, and the kids have a healthy dislike for each other. And so as that game approaches, it gets a lot more juice added to it because both offenses are just otherworldly right now.
Clicking. Somebody's going to have to come up with stops, or we're looking at like some 80-70 monster
track meet.
Certainly possible, but a lot of fun if you get a chance to go see those two teams play. No matter who they're playing against, they're going to put up numbers. So make sure you definitely, if you want to see something interesting, you want to see some guys who are running up and down the field.
Remix of the Western Stanton River game from a couple years back.
Jeez, I still think that game is going on. It took forever, but. Tremendously good problem to have that you just cannot stop scoring. So, three good problems to have. And when you look, too, we want to check in on these VHSL playoff ratings that are coming out every Monday now. Not a ton of movement across the board, but one school did make a big jump up. Buckingham County made a jump from 6-3. That's really good in a pretty good region that they're in.
Yeah, and they just destroyed Northumberland.
Yo, that was nuts. All right, like, there's a lot of things that we do out there. You know, we do weekly briefing. Like, we do you know, we do first off the field ACAC, which, by the way, a little bit of technical difficulty. You sure heard from Quentin Spellman this week, but with a little bit of technical problems.
Sorry, Quentin, that's my fault.
But, I mean, just a, you know, there's some things that we do, weekly briefing. And sometimes you spend a lot of time. I read a lot about Northumberland last week. I felt like I knew a lot about Northumberland. I felt like I knew, I even watched a little bit of tape in Northumberland. I felt like that was going to be a really big challenge for Buckingham. Yeah, no, Buckingham put 57 in like 10 minutes on these guys. Buckingham is playing excellent football right now. They are forcing you to try and stop them physically. If you are being physically challenged when you play Buckingham, they are there to test your mettle. And Northumberland did not pass this week, needless to say. Did not pass. And I wrote a lot about how Northumberland was going to be this great challenge for Buckingham. And Buckingham made at least 300 words of information just look way off base. So tremendous game by the Knights. Really excited with what Buckingham's putting together. And we're thrilled. You know, that's great for them to see a team that, you know, has been on that edge, you know, and is now really trended back in toward the direction that we
about
expect.
At the beginning of the season, it's not about making the playoffs this year. It's about getting home games.
There you go.
Now they've slid up to number three with Strasburg and Stewart's draft in sight. Draft is still undefeated. Strasburg's got that one loss. But Buckingham County, they can finish the season 9-1. And right now it looks like they're gonna.
Yeah.
So interesting to see. And we got two teams in first place still. I mean, Louisa holding their position, and then Goochland in that number one spot.
Moved up to the one spot with James Monroe moving down. And it creates the region 3B creates an interesting matchup this week with Wayne Monroe and Brentsville.
Yeah, so this has been a 1-point football game back to back years. Brentsville is in the 2 spot at 2-3. Monroe is in the 7 spot at 2-3.
All right. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Right now what we're looking at is in Region 3B, there's doesn't look like there's a lot of difference between 2
We talked about 7. This last week. This is one of the weirdest regions in the whole state. So and now Goochland's a part
of it. It's going to make this last month really, really fascinating.
Yeah. So a big game for William Monroe Brentsville, and we heard it from Dupree Rucker immediately afterwards. He was echoing Bill Belichick. It was a lot of on to Brentsville. On to Brentsville. He finished every sentence. He was almost punctuating the sentences with on to Brentsville. So a really big game for William Monroe coming
and
up.
And then sticking with Goochland there for 1 second, interesting schedule change.
Throwing
in Blue Ridge. That was a sort of vacancy created by like a little sort of mishap with scheduling for union-wise. You know, that was a pretty regular game, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. So now they get a 10th game added to their schedule, and maybe
because,
that affects things.
Because Randolph-Macon Academy lost their season, decided to cancel the rest of their season because of numbers, injuries, those sorts of issues, opened the door for a Blue Ridge, you know, Goochland game, a tremendous opportunity really for both programs to really measure themselves. A Blue Ridge team that's going to be really athletic on the back end, a Goochland team that we talked about Buckingham testing your manhood. Goochland always, week in and week out, is going to test your manhood. And it's been so good defensively of late. Devin McCray's playing his tail off, 2 interceptions this week. It's going to be really exciting to see that game in a little bit later this month. But big game for William Monroe Brentsville this week. That one will be a major playoff determinant. So really appreciate you listening. Again, like we said last week, if you want to support what we're doing, you love what we're doing, jump on Patreon, send us a couple of bucks a month. That always helps. If you think about it, you throw $2 a month in, you're going to be paying for one of your games to be covered. You're going to be paying for, you know, one of your teammates, one of your family members, one of your school classmates, you're going to be paying for one of them to get coverage. So really exciting opportunity to be a part of what we do. Patreon.com/scrimmageplay. You can always find the link right on the homepage, and we appreciate it. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with a lot more stuff going on.